Widest music variety here at North Canterbury's Compass FM. In the studio, we welcome back into Compass FM Natalie Patterson from Together Hauranui and Welcoming Communities Facilitator. Morena, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming into the studio today.
No problem.
So today I thought we'd talk about, you mentioned to me off air that you've got a mental health and wellbeing training day. What is this, Natalie, and who's going to be going?
Yeah, so Together Hauranui hosts bi-monthly hui's where we come together. The network is comprises of all those that work in the Hauranui. So we've got sort of over 200 organisations, people on our distribution list. And so we bring those together bi-monthly to talk about what's going on in the Hauranui. We offer profile services. Our last hui was around vaping. So we had a CDHB kind of talk a little bit about what they're doing in that prevention space, alongside Vape Free Kids NZ, who are doing incredible mahi in that space. But this hui is more of a training day. So the Mental Health Foundation will be presenting that day around mental health and wellbeing. We're so aware that that mental health is, you know, is an issue nationally, but we want to ensure that our workers, those that are working on the front line, are taking care of their mental health as well.
Oh, absolutely. So you mentioned some people who will be going along, so it's mostly for those who are in that working space, so
yeah,
not generally for the general public at this stage.
I mean, if we had people in the general public that wanted to come along and be a part of that day, then we're more than happy for them to come along. It is on the 1st of May, kicking off at 12 p.m. at the Hauranui District Council. But yeah, primarily for our stakeholders, so we're talking police, our medical centre staff, our schools, those that are working in our social services, primarily those are the ones that are involved with Together Hauranui.
What a fantastic day that's going to be, and so invaluable. So with that, what does that mean for all these services, I guess, moving forward? You can maybe start looking at some, well, continue to look at places that there might be a need for certain things?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's all Together Hauranui is all about intel. It's all about basically my job is to get out amongst community, learn where the gaps are, and then come up with projects to plug those gaps. We're so aware that mental health is an issue throughout our community, so we want to resource those that are working on the front line to pay attention to their own mental health as they work with ones within our community that might need that support.
Yeah, that's going to be a wonderful day for them. Now, can you tell us all about the launch of the Welcoming Community Stocktake Report? What is this?
Yeah, I would love to. Towards the end of last year, we did a stocktake throughout our community, sort of over 3 months, talking to our migrants and newcomers about their experience living in the Hauranui, what was good, what wasn't so good, what they would like to see more of. Just learning about their experience and really, I guess, targeted those migrants that that we may not hear too much from. We've collated all of that information and all of that data, and we've put together a report. So Welcoming Communities is an initiative that's funded by MBE, and I'm the facilitator for Hauranui, and what we're working towards is Welcoming Communities has 8 outcomes that we're kind of I guess judging ourselves against. So they're things like welcoming communications, inclusive leadership, culture and identity. And so the report's all about looking at each of those outcomes, what we're doing well, what we could do better, and potentially what could be part of a welcoming plan in the future.
Sounds amazing. Hey, is that going to be out for everyone to be able to view? Can we see that?
Sure is. So the launch is on the 7th of May, and that will be at Amiri Area School. The Migrant Students Club will be hosting that event. So that's sort of an opportunity for us to kind of launch the report and talk to those migrants that filled in our stocktake survey, just a bit of follow-up to say, hey, thank you so much for filling in the survey. This is what we hope to do with that information that you've provided.
That sounds wonderful. We look forward to seeing that report. Natalie, did you have anything else you'd like to mention today before we finish up?
Yeah, I guess just I'll always plug the Next Steps website. So if you are out there in both the Waimakariri and the Hauranui district looking for additional support, the Next Steps website is a really great place to go, and that is just nextsteps.org.nz.
It sure is. It's a fantastic resource. Thank you so much for coming in today. Natalie Patterson, Together Hiranui and Welcoming Communities Facilitator, and we'll catch you again in a couple of months.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Compass FM.
North Canterbury's community radio station. We are Compass FM, and 13 minutes past 8, and a very special guest popping into the studio right now. Nicola McGrath. Kia ora, good morning, Nicola, and thanks for coming into Compass.
Oh, kia ora, thank you.
I'm referring to page 3 of the North Canterbury News. Last week we had a chat with Robin Bristow, the editor there, Nicola, and there's a wonderful photo of you and a story written by John Cosgrove. Nicola, you're out and about cleaning hundreds of return servicemen headstones. Bless you for doing that.
Thank you.
What is inspiring you to do this?
Obviously respect for our return servicemen and our servicemen and women in general. Mm-hmm. I'm part of the New Zealand Remembrance Army. So initially our job is to clean up return servicemen's, the big those big sort of what are they made of, marble graves in, yep, the old cemeteries. But I had gone for a walk through the cemetery and seen the plaques were in a bit of sort of varying states of more environmental, yeah, decay. So I approached Ian Thompson, the president of the Rangiora RSA, and he was, yeah, really, really supportive and so kind about it. So we did a count up, and I think there's 500 and a few dotted around, not part of that particular section. Yeah. So I got a lovely gentleman in Invercargill to give me some instructions on what to purchase and how to do it. So I became a very avid user of a mouse sander, so battery powered, because there's no power, yep, at the cemetery. So, yep, those little issues were something I had to sort of consider, that I had no power and no bathroom and other things. So started, I think, the weekend before Easter.
Yeah.
And I was pretty slow, and a lovely friend, Lauren Hancock's, and her daughter came and helped the first weekend and last weekend. So they do all the sweeping and tidying up around all the concrete, which is a mission, and then we start the process, which is time consuming, to say the least. So
time consuming in a labour of love.
Yeah, so yesterday I was there at 10:30, I think, and left at 5:30. So even Main Power Stadium allowed me to use their power to charge up the battery, so they were really good. So, and Repco have been really kind at giving me a bit of a discount on spray and Mitre 10 as well on the sander and the leaf blower. So yeah, I've been really, really blessed by people in the community.
Nicola, you are an ex-service person yourself?
Territorials in the artillery, so I was a bombardier.
Okay.
With 3-1 battery in Dunedin.
Wow. Yes. Territorials, is that different from the regular army?
Very, very.
Okay, tell me about that.
I've been this obviously a bit different. I was sort of 17 when I joined, so and it basically, yeah, you work all week and then head out, as they used to call us, cut lunch, soldiers and all the rest of it. So, but I think now you kind of certainly do your time. So that was a long time ago. So,
yeah.
And then obviously with my dad and
I was just about to ask you, tell us about your dad.
So my dad served in Malaya and Borneo and then Vietnam. And he came home, to not the welcome he would have hoped for. And it affected him, obviously, with PTSD immediately. He grew up in Timaru, so he didn't feel welcome coming home. So he stayed in the North Island with my uncle and auntie, I think, just to try and, you know, find his way back here. And unfortunately, he suffered physically, mentally, my whole life, to be honest. And he succumbed to cancers that were considered service-related.
That's through Agent Orange?
Yeah, he suffered lots of physical stuff from Agent Orange. So basically, horrendous chloro acne. So his skin looked like third-degree burns all over his face, anywhere that was exposed. And Kiwi soldiers, different to the movies, don't have their sleeves rolled up. They had their sleeves down for obvious reasons. So his face and was quite badly affected. And to be honest, alcohol didn't help.
Yeah.
And that was where he went for the rest of his life, really. Yeah, so, yeah.
Look, I absolutely get that and fully understand.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, so he's been gone 10 years this year.
What's your dad's name?
Phil McGrath. Yeah, so he was a sergeant in Whiskey One Company. So it's about him, but I think the magic of doing the plaques is in whether you're a spiritual person or not, but every weekend I've been there, the weather has been sublime, even though yesterday morning I thought, oh, I'm in for it now, but when I spray them black and then start sanding, because I sand them to bring up the lettering,
yes,
and it comes up, and I'll show you 50,000 photos shortly, and the names appear physically in front of me, it's quite mind-blowing.
It's like the Marauder's map on Harry Potter with the names sort of coming back. Is that right?
No, not quite so dramatic. And honestly, the amount of times the sun would physically get, like, just that moment, if it was a bit, at least today it was a bit overcast, and I think last weekend, or I can't remember, it runs together, Saturday, same thing, like, I feel them saying, hey, thanks, you know. And
that is spiritual, Nicola.
Yeah, quite that beautiful.
It really is.
And the names, just reading, not that I remember them all, obviously, but in some of them from really amazing places, which I can't remember now, but like the Imperial Forces, something like the Imperial Forces or Imperial, and then there was Gordon, some guards from Scotland, there's a gentleman there, and then the woman, you know, acknowledging and celebrating women who served, you know, not, and they weren't just the wives of servicemen, I mean, obviously they're there too, but yeah, some incredible people and some names of streets that I recognise, and there's beautifully maintained by whānau, different ones are, there's fresh flowers, and these are elderly service folks, so yeah, and lots of people come up and talk to me.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing that you're doing, Nicola, and one more question that I was going to ask you. We're talking about the servicemen, the servicewomen, but of course it was service animals as well that served overseas, and in particular there's one story about a hospital ship that was off the coast of Gallipoli that was torpedoed back in World War One, and there was numerous New Zealand nurses who went down with that particular ship. So this is not just the guys with their sleeves rolled up in the movies.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff that goes on in the background. Nicola, you were out and about cleaning all sorts of graves for servicemen and women. How would you like to get some help? Maybe we can scare up a few people to help you out. You've got something happening on the evening of the 24th, is that right?
Well, as you do when you've got a lot of quiet time up there with no one to talk to. I was thinking, and a lovely lady has approached me a couple of times, because obviously the sanding is a one-man job, and I did actually put a thing out on Facebook to ask if anyone had a spare mouse sander, but it's a one-person job. But I thought, and it's a community thing and no pressure, that even from tomorrow night onwards till like Wednesday night, if people want to pop up and put some fresh flowers, just a wee posy on those, there's lots of them there, obviously there's no one around, you know, they were born in 1895 and died in the 60s, so you know that they've got family that aren't here or just, to be fair, get forgotten. So it would be kind of a cool thing for Ian Thompson to pop up there on Anzac morning and raise the flag to half mast and see that whole section covered in floral displays. And the lady's going to drop off a container of rosemary for remembrance. So if people just want to pop a wee piece of rosemary next to the poppies that have been beautifully laid there one by one. So it's your cemetery, so feel free to, I mean, it's not mine and there's no pressure, but I kind of will go up and give them a final wash on Wednesday night before dark. It's daylight saving for you, but any time like that, I think this lovely lady said she'll leave some rosemary there from 3 o'clock on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But any time, a lady popped in who was well in her 90s yesterday with some flowers that she'd seen the article and she wanted to, so she put a wee posy of flowers. So it's pretty cool, and have a wander, you know, and have a read.
And remember, and give thanks.
It's give really thanks. Cool.
Nicola McGrath, what cemetery are we talking about here?
The Lawn Cemetery on Coldstream Road, for those that don't know, so sort of behind the AMP showgrounds or opposite the cricket ground or Main Power Stadium, if that helps, at the end of East Belt.
Yeah.
You just drive up the drive and it's on your left past, you know, the first section. You can't miss it before you get to the flagpole.
Nicola, before you know it, you're on the newspaper and you're on the local radio station for doing something that you just wanted to do. I thank you. Personally,
you're welcome.
I thank you. And on behalf of the community, I thank you as well. And wish you all the very, very best for this Anzac weekend and life going forward. You're one of the champions, Nicola. Thank you so much for doing what you do. It is Compass CFM, and of course we will be promoting what you can do for the next couple of days leading into Anzac Day.
Compass FM.